Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday and welcome to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, episode 121. I am your host, Coleman, and I want to thank you all for tuning in today. I had no idea today was a holiday, President's Day, I believe it is. So thank you for tuning in with us this morning. It'll be a great show. I'm going to go over some of the news that broke over the weekend. Some of the new things that the Department of Government Efficiency wants to overtake, and a segment that was played on 60 Minutes that I really thought was an SNL skit until I saw all the comments and it turned out to be true. So pretty crazy stuff. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend, and good morning, Ba. How was your weekend?
Good morning, Coleman. Good morning, everybody. Awesome weekend. Got to spend some time up at the Orangeville Retreat. So, getting some projects done, getting ready for warmer weather.
Yeah, y'all are pretty cold up there, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, the further north you go, the worse it gets. So, I'm happy to be, you know, towards the southern part of the craziness.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy down here in the southern Texas. Not too cold, but freezing. I think we might dip down below freezing for a couple hours, I think, on Tuesday night. But other than that, it's still nice. Did all of our planting before last weekend, so now hopefully it doesn't get too cold. Kills all of our plants that we did for our landscaping. But I do want to say, just shout out a couple people in the audience. We have Texas Toast, Wade, Bitballer, Ace, IT, Odie, good morning, Dr. Nick. We have John. We have Miss L, Pleb. Let's see, King Bateman. We have Toasty, The Forest. Good morning, good morning. We have Kevin. And hopefully we get Yomar joining us this week. I think he said he was going to be off, but I know he was a little under the weather. So we'll see if he pops in today. But in case you all are unfamiliar, we have the little conversation pill down in the bottom right. Go ahead and click on that. Say good morning to us. If you have any questions, feel free to go ahead and post them in there. And if you feel like coming up on stage, go ahead and request. We're pretty easygoing, as you can tell. The only rule we have, there's just two rules. No shitcoining. Don't be like the Argentinian president and create your own shitcoin, and just be nice to everybody. That's really the only two things that we ask of you. But Bob, where do you want to start? There was quite a few topics we can go ahead and dive into today.
Yeah, I think maybe the gold reserves audit might be an interesting one. Lots of commentary on that over the last few days, and that might be a good one where we could get some people up on stage. It looks like Wade posted something in the chat as well, so we could probably cover some of that topic, and we'll bring him up. But if anybody else, as Coleman said, wants to bring up a topic, throw it down in the purple pill in the bottom, and also request to come up on stage if you'd like to discuss any of these topics.
Yeah, so good morning, Wade. I'm good to have you up here. Let's hear your thoughts on this.
What's up, guys? Good morning. Two big stories kind of standing out here to us in Tennessee this morning. The first one was the firing and the rehiring of hundreds of critical nuclear safety, nuclear oversight workers at several of the national nuclear security facilities, particularly the fact that some of the individuals were fired and then the administration lost all communications with the people to attempt to rehire them. So they've got a little bit of egg on their face in the scramble to find $10 trillion over the next 300 days. And then some of the secondary scuttlebutt that we've seen is the talk about Treasury considering minting a $1 trillion coin or several $1 trillion coins to you know, get around the financial and legal issues with trying to finance $10 trillion over the next 300 days. But that's what we're seeing in this neck of the woods.
Okay, I didn't know that there's a lot of nuclear employees over there in Tennessee. So I would take it that there's quite a few.
Yeah, there's thousands of national security nuclear positions here in Tennessee at various national security complexes around the enterprise here.
Yeah, and just for those who didn't see it, it looks like there's about 28 folks that they were trying to rehire that were of national security importance out of the thousands that they did fire. So I think I'm curious if there'll be more, if those numbers will grow. But it sounds like there's 28 that supposedly we just can't live without.
Yeah,
we saw.
Go ahead, Wade. I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, it's cool, guys. We saw there was some open source reporting that over 300 or 325 were rehired, they're attempting to rehire back. The issue was they just blanketly fired everybody who was in a probationary status, regardless of like the critical needs or essentialness of the position they were in. So there wasn't an effective triage done for it. And, you know, of course, I understand they need to save money and whatnot, but, you know, you also can't break an omelet, or you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. So that's kind of what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, hopefully they're able to bring those nuclear employees back in, make things a little bit easier, the couple dozen that they need. I didn't hear anything about this minting of the coin, though. If you don't mind diving into that a little bit. I heard it thrown around, I think, back during COVID time, where they wanted to mint just a single coin to help offset the debt. But I didn't know that this talk was being renewed.
I threw a post. I think this started to come up at the end of 24, when Treasury was looking at some options, because they boxed themselves in by issuing so much short-term paper. Because Yellen has really left Bessa in a bit of a pickle here, because apparently she issued $8 trillion in one-year treasuries. So the administration now is looking at, one, a debt ceiling here in March, and that's going to be a major issue. And two, they're looking at having to find or roll over $10 trillion over the next, you know, clock's ticking here. So they really do only have about 300 days to find the money. So understand why Doge is scrambling the way they are, but it looks more like a political show to me. They can't find $10 trillion. They're going to have to roll it.
Yeah, there's no way that they're going to be able to come up with that in the budget, not without cutting almost every single program. And even then, they'd still be short. Yeah, so for those who may be unaware, the former Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen issued just a ton of front-end notes to try and offset, you know, issuing debt, which I think it has to get renewed, is anywhere from $6 trillion to $8 trillion this year. Instead of issuing that debt over 10 to 30 years, she just issued it short-term, depending on which way you're looking at it, in the hopes that the interest rates were going to come down, it'd be easier to refinance that debt. But it was also just a way to go ahead and make the current administration look better, the Biden administration. And so Scott Bessent was very outspoken about what she was doing back last year in 24. But now that he's in her position, he's got quite the shitstorm to kind of clean up. I don't think there's any other way to put that. And I think they had their first Treasury auction last week or the week before, and he still did a lot of end on the short term. But it'll be interesting to see how he tries to taper that out and tries to put that on the longer end. So creating this coin to help offset could be something. I'm not really sure. But let's go ahead. This is a perfect segue to start talking about Doge trying to get in there and possibly audit the Fed. It seems like over the weekend, Zero Hedge posted something and tagged Doge and Elon. And Elon Musk was a little surprised that the Fort Knox doesn't get audited every year. And the last time it was audited, I think 74. Someone correct me if I'm wrong on that. So if you guys want to go ahead, we'll start diving into this. I think, I don't know how I feel about it. I could see where there's just an empty room with just a couple bars laying in a corner. I could see that possibility playing out. I could also see it playing out where they almost have everything too. Like, I'm at this point where nothing's really going to surprise me anymore. I'm just going to kind of take it as it comes, but it'll be very interesting nonetheless, to see how this plays. So Bob Wade or Texas Toast, If you have any comments on this, let's hear them.
Yeah, I mean, they've been talking about this a long time, and 40, 50 years, maybe more. And so I think if there's any time it's that it could happen, it could be now. I think it almost seems to me the only way this gets blocked is if, you know, they're trying to hide something again.
Well, so when I look at what's going on and try and step back and look at everything that's taking place, a lot of that demand coming to London right now is physical. And that physical, from what I've heard, was coming to the United States. And so this might have been whoever's in charge of the gold realizing that, hey, there's probably only a matter of weeks or months before they figure out they're going to give us an audit. So they're trying to bring everything in to try and make it appear that they have everything that they need. So that could be one possibility of it. Again, I'd be surprised though if that vault is completely empty or if that vault is completely full. Like either of those scenarios is just as likely to me. I really don't know what to make of it. I really don't know which way it's going to go. I think though that if it does have all the gold that it's saying, I think you see the price of gold kind of dip, right? Because that was the whole point of all the gold bugs and their theory was that there's a bunch of paper notes and the Fed doesn't have it. I think if they have all the gold, I think you see the price of gold just completely nosedive. And vice versa, if they don't have the gold there, I think you see the price of gold do multiples. So it's going to be interesting. But we don't even know yet if they are or are not going to audit Fort Knox. Text. Or Wade, do you guys?
I think the other side of the coin is kind of the tail risk, though, that there could end up being a repricing event for gold that between the Treasury Secretary and the President. They could simply reprice the gold to the fair market value of the asset. So I don't know. I mean, it could be just as likely as the gold's not there and the whole shtick is up, or they actually get enough in there to pass some sort of an audit or pass some sort of confidence, some level of confidence and maybe they just change the price of gold overnight on a 3-day weekend.
Can you explain that, Wade, to people who are unfamiliar that the price of gold that's stored in Ox is not at the current market value? Do you mind going into that?
Yeah, Jimmy Carter is my understanding is the last president to use the, I forget the exact name of the statute. It's one of the Gold Act or Gold Reserve bills, whatnot that Congress passed going back to the 30s. But Carter upped the price to, the price for the gold to around 40 something dollars an ounce, that's sitting in the Fort Knox Treasury Reserves. And so, because it was done all the way back in the 70s, initially that gold was seized by FDR during the Depression. And then Nixon took us off the gold standard. And then the last president to actually change the price of the gold in Fort Knox was Carter. So I've seen that there's been some talk, in some memos going around about potentially repricing the gold to the market price. But I think that's something that people seriously need to consider. You may not want to, if you got gold on you right now, if you got a couple ounces of gold, you may want to consider not getting rid of it in case that, it gets repriced to $3,000 an ounce or Luke Groman's talked about them changing the price to even higher than $3,000 an ounce and using financial trickery to fix the debt. But that's what I've seen, but I'm not the best gold guy, to speak on all that.
So I think it was this morning, or over the weekend, Rand Paul, senator out of Kentucky, and I guess it's his third term. It's kind of crazy. Time flies. 3 6-year terms, but he had attempted to do, to go see the gold. And I guess you can, President Trump the first time, did approve Rand Paul going to see it with his own eyes. It wasn't a true audit, but going to see it. And then the Treasury Secretary at the time wanted to as well. And there was something about trying to time it up with one of the eclipses. And so they wanted to go see the eclipse and the gold in Fort Knox all at the same time. And so Rand Paul, because they changed the schedule, couldn't go see Fort Knox and the gold contained within at the same time as the eclipse. And so, supposedly, Tim Geithner, who was the Treasury Secretary under the first Trump administration, did validate that he saw it. That doesn't mean that's not a full audit, but just thought I would point that out.
Just did a once around the room and said, yeah, it looks like there's enough gold in here to, for the claims. That's what we like as Bitcoiners. what a farce. But no, Wade, you're right. So I believe the podcast that you were talking about with Luke Grohman, it was done on Marty Vance, TFTC. I think that was the last one he did where he talked about this. And it was a really good, episode. I'll try and find it and put it up in the nest for a link. But he does talk about repricing the gold, from, I think it was $45-$47 per ounce that's in there, and pricing it, it goes all the way up to $10,000 to go ahead and offset, the debt burden that we have, which is a huge, that's a, you know, 2.5x from where we're at right now, give or take. And well, no, that's more than that. It's a 3x, three and some, three and a third. And the issue that they would have though, that Luke brings up by pricing the gold that's in the Fort Knox, is that there may be existing claims on some of that gold. And if they go ahead and reprice that, some of the other countries might be able to come in and just take what was theirs. So there's a little bit of issue with that possibly. They could also just go ahead and reprice it and say, all right, if you want to go ahead and try and take it, you got to get past our naval fleet. Good luck. So they could try and do a little flex like that. But it's going to be interesting. And I know that Scott Bessent is talked about doing some kind of gold backing. So time will tell what's going to play out with this. It's definitely not going to be a cluster. That's for sure.
Yeah, Texas, Larry, do you LaPard, have... yeah, Larry LaPard talked about if they were actually to, you know, re-peg it, the price of gold would be about $80,000 for all the printing and everything to keep it as it was. And they went off of it in the 40s. So I don't think it's going to do that, but there's an in-between there. It's going to get repriced higher at some point. But they talked about that, you know, the real 3D chess move is to skip all that, skip all the gold, go to Bitcoin, start dumping the gold, and kind of get our adversaries in a pinch because they've been hoarding gold for so long and trying to make that play. So it's like if everybody's trying to make the gold play, we have an opportunity to make the Bitcoin play and kind of negate a lot of this stuff that the rest of the world's been trying to do.
Yeah, the hide the ball game with the precious metals and the fact that they're really not auditable is really a, I think that's really the true unspoken story, because eventually we're going to see with these inauditable monetary systems, who's swimming naked.
Absolutely. And we're kind of getting a taste of that right now with London Metal Exchange, with going from just 2 to 3 days on delivery for physical going to, I think it's up to 4 to 6 weeks now. And so there's a bad scramble. They're making just ridiculous excuses. They're saying that delays are just due to transportation issues. There's lorries or that's just big trucks in the streets, which are causing delays from the vaults. Like, again, they might as well just said the dog ate your pig. We got to go find a different copy for it. People, unfortunately, you know, if they don't have the physical, it's going to show the importance of having Bitcoin and holding it yourself. Again, not your keys, not your coins. I get convenience on the ETFs. Kind of a new debate going on about keeping your Bitcoin on the ETF, holding in cold storage. Again, you have to decide that for yourself. I'm not going to be the one that tell you have to hold it in cold storage and then somehow you mismanage it, and then I'm the one to blame. You have to have your own self, sense of security, and you have to know your limits. But just know that if you are keeping your Bitcoin on an ETF or on an exchange, it ultimately, it is not yours. So always best practice is to learn. It's really not that hard. But I didn't get why some people just don't want to do it. It's frustrating, but I understand. Go ahead, Texas.
Well, just imagine the cost. I mean, speaking of all this Doge stuff and everything else, imagine the cost of actually auditing, doing a true in-depth audit, you know, cutting these things up, making sure they're not tungsten, you know, all this stuff. Imagine how expensive that is. And you still don't know. You can't do that to every single bar. If you were actually going to, take forever and cost way more than you'd be willing to spend. So it's like, it's all a big shell game. Hopefully it all gets exposed within the next year or two. That'd be great. I think it'd be great for Bitcoin. So we'll see where we go.
Inevitably, again, if you're cheating at the game, it doesn't matter. At some point, you're going to be exposed. And whether that's going to happen in the short term, over the next couple of months, or if it's going to take another couple of administrations to go through, eventually the lie will be exposed. And I think that there's just a lot of people that are just waking up, and I think there's more and more people that are just realizing that they've been lied to their entire life, and that trust in the administration and trust in legacy news media is just, it's crumbling. And this is what happens when those people in power are losing it. They just throw everything at the wall to see what's going to stick. Again, that I have a clip for you, so I'll go ahead and play it here in a minute. But there was, C-Minutes did, an interview with the German police. I honest to God thought it was an SNL skit. I really did. And then I just started digging more into it, and I realized that this was a serious thing. I'll play it for you. There's two clips I'll play back to back, and it's just, it's absolutely crazy of what's going on. So take about 3 minutes to play. I do see we have Yellow in the audience. I sent you an invite if you want to go ahead and join us. We'd love to have you up on the panel and get your thoughts. Here are those two clips I'll play for you right now.
To insult somebody in public.
Yes.
And it's a crime to insult them online as well.
Yes.
The fine could be even higher.
Yeah.
If you insult them in the internet, because in internet it stays there. If we are talking here face to face, you insult me, I insult you, okay, finish. But if you're in the internet, if I insult you or a politician,
that sticks around forever.
Yeah.
The prosecutor explained German law also prohibits the spread of malicious gossip, violent threats, and fake quotes. If somebody posts something that's not true, and then somebody else reposts it or likes it, are they committing a crime?
Yeah, in the case of reposting, it is a crime as well, because the reader can't distinguish whether you just invented this or just reposted it. That's the same for us.
The punishment for breaking hate speech law can include jail time for repeat offenders.
The criticism that, you know, this feels like the surveillance that Germany conducted ages ago. How do you respond to that?
There is no surveillance.
Josephine Ballone is a CEO of HateAid, a Berlin-based human rights organization that supports victims of online violence.
In the United States, a lot of people look at them and say, this is restricting free speech. It's a threat to democracy.
Free speech needs boundaries. And in the case of Germany, these boundaries are part of our constitution. Without boundaries, a very small group of people can rely on endless freedom to say anything that they want, while everyone else is scared and intimidated.
In your fears that if people are freely attacked online, that they'll withdraw from the discussion.
This is not only a fear, it's already taking place. Already half of the internet users in Germany are afraid to express their political opinion, and they rarely participate in public debates online anymore. Half of.
So these were an actual interview that 60 Minutes did. Again, that first one, it just looks comical when you see it. I'll throw the links up in the nest, but that's an actual thing. So guys, I'll let you go ahead and dissect it and give your thoughts, and let's hear it.
Go ahead, Wade.
It's just really, this is really sad to watch the Germans fall back into their old authoritarian ways of thinking. I mean, just falling back into East German Stasi and let's just not even talk about the other political parties, just falling back into these authoritarian police state, state of mind is just very, for a country that really was and used to be the heart of industrial Europe, it's just sad to see. It looks like the entire thing is falling apart. But this is the type of behavior that we expect from administrations that have basically destroyed, you know, their industrial base. I mean, look at what's happened to Volkswagen labor union contracts over the last 5 years. Some of these people, after considering the inflation rate and the reductions in their salaries and their contract negotiations, some of these people in 5 years have lost 50% of their purchasing power in terms of their salary after the pay cuts and the inflation that they've dealt with. And this is the expected reaction that you have is just authoritarianism. It's sad.
The crazy part is, we weren't too far away from having the timeline as our future here in America. Like I truly believe that if the Harris-Waltz campaign had won, that this would have been our timeline and this would have been us, and that speech would have been extremely limited. So it's extremely unfortunate for the German people. I do know that they're having an election coming up, and so hopefully that they're able to right that ship. But again, this is just absolutely crazy. The only way that you combat hate speech or bad speech is just with better speech. So you can't limit anybody. I don't think they realize. Again, I think when these people, when they're in power, they're only looking through their lens that they're going to have power forever, and there's never going to be anybody from the opposition that's going to be able to win. But they've just set themselves up for a litany of lawsuits or prosecutions. I can guarantee that they posted something from COVID that was not factual, or that was debunked. And according to that police woman, that can be charged for that. So again, it's just absolutely, you're not supposed to say the word, but it's retarded. It is retarded. Texas.
Yeah, so. Oh.
No, sorry. Go for it, Yellow.
Yeah, so the battle between like what is a lie and what is a truth, I feel like it was always there in society. Manipulation was always there. It's not a new thing. What is a new thing is it has to do with credentials and who is like presenting that truth or that research or that like whatever kind of like mechanics they have in order to present that truth or news to the public, right? Like that changed, and it's kind of similar with Bitcoin also, because like we were never meant to be our own banks if banks went corrupt and were doing their job, right? Like that happened because those guys got corrupted. That system got corrupted so much that we had to find like an alternative, and we did. Thank God. But the same thing happened with information and what is truth and what is a lie. And the podcast came, internet came. And like we were never, as Elon said, you are the news media now. We were never meant to do that. Like I have a job. I don't want to be also researching every little detail I read. It would be way easier to have a trustworthy outlet somewhere that I can like actually get the news and don't have to verify it, but that's the world we live in now. Like everything goes, that also industry got corrupted. Journalists used to mean something. Now it's nothing in that term. No truth behind it. And, yeah, now we have that rise of basically us doing the research, doing the work again, once again, and we becoming the media, right? Like, but when it comes to the free speech, it also worked, like, as it became for the news thing, as it became for the money, for Bitcoin, like, the same thing is happening again, once again, I have to say, about free speech and in the political spectrum, right? Yeah, it's kind of ironic how that works and how, like, we are here again, because at some point in the history, we're talking about similar things again, right? So here we are again.
Yeah, Yellow, I'm just, you know, I think Coleman kind of brought it up that this recording that he played, you know, he thought it was a parody skit, right? And I think it's just interesting how the questions for the person that was being interviewed were so weak. Like, you know, what other questions would we want asked of that person? Like, would we have brought up the fact that this could be weaponized, right? So if you have a political opponent and you have the ability to bring up charges on someone who is basically telling the truth about your bad ideas, and you can go after them and say that they're lying and they're besmirching you and they're, you know, they're not telling the truth. And now those people could be put in prison or fined. And so this really is, ridiculous when you start looking at how poorly questions are asked. I think of any leader, but especially this is a great example of it, with what Coleman played.
I'm not sure how the German political opposition has any chance of bringing about a change to this, because it looks to me like they're just being set up for effectively a January 6th. It looks like the authorities and the political establishment in Germany are forcing the body politic into having an unfortunate reaction to the policies that are in place. And then when that reaction occurs, that'll be used as the excuse to ban the political opposition.
Hitler 2.0, they're trying to do the Reichstag fire.
It's so ironic that they don't understand that that's what they're doing in their attempt to stop anybody from, saying anything outside of the room. They literally teach the children in Germany that the reason that the rise happened was because people didn't listen to the government. It wasn't because they didn't question authority or, you know, think for themselves. It's like people didn't listen to exactly what the government said, and that's why all the bad things happen. So you have to always listen to what the government says. And it's a black pill, man. I go there frequently and I have many German friends, and it's insane to how like brainwashed people are there. And that's the train of thought that they have.
Arcade, I have a question for you. Well, first off, thank you for coming up. But you said you go to Germany quite often. How does the public view this? Are most people on board, or is it split kind of here? You have half the population who like this and the other half just think it's complete nutty.
I mean, there's just people who believe that they have to stay the course and that the direction the country's going is the right way. And I mean, they look at the things that Trump's doing now as like just insane, right? He's doing the will of the people. It's hard for me. I'm from Texas, but I live in Europe, and I go to, like I said, I go to Germany often, and I have friends there. And even like, I know women that are married to military men over there, and even for them to vote for the AfD, it's really hard for them to talk about that. It's like, it's a shame thing. They've been shamed their whole lives to think this way. So anyone who thinks outside the norm is like just seen as it's pure shame. As far as like the number of people, I have no idea really. I have a small community of people that I know there, but in general, like through coworkers and through friends, like it's not good, fellas. It's not good. It's not looking good over there.
Arcade, why are all the former East German territories, why are they voting AfD, and no one in former West Germany is. What's up with the political divide there?
I can't really speak to that. I know more of like, I look at it more from North and South perspective. But yeah, I'm not really sure about that as much, but I know, you know, it's like the Berlin side of things. It's very similar to like the East and West Coast of the US, right? It's very metropolitan. Everybody's extremely insanely left. But sometimes you hear stories of people turning. There's one story I knew of a woman that was a psychologist, right? So you got to think like a Berkeley psychologist, a woman from Berkeley that's like a psychologist, or from like, you know, NYU or something like that, like extremely left. And she didn't realize how bad things have gotten until she realized her daughter was the only like German born kid in her class. And they were like, oh shit, I think we should probably move home now. So then they went to the South. And so, yeah, until it hits you, like hits your pocketbook or hits your family in a way that is like you start to realize how these different policies will actually destroy you. Then it's not real, you know, and you have to follow. They follow the herd. It's fucking mind blowing. But even these politicians that we've seen these speeches recently when J.D. Vance spoke, you know, and they're they get up there and they can't handle it. They can't handle somebody that thinks anywhere outside or against what they believe because it's the herd mentality and it's really fucking strong. I mean, look at all the violence that's been done against their population and to still not think that you need something to change. Like it's a deep seated self-hatred. It's fucked up.
Go ahead, Texas.
Yeah, I've spent a little bit of time in Germany and studied there for a couple months, but you know, the East-West part, it's obvious to me. It's like the West Germany, they were brainwashed heavily by the Western, you know, system of you know, denazification. And then the East Germans got their Soviet taste, and that got debunked. And so now they can see this for what it is, it seems like. And it's totalitarianism, whereas the Western part of the country is still under this illusion, this Western illusion that they're the good guys and everything that they do is hunky dory. So that's the way I look at it. But
yeah, and you have to look at like where the crisis is, right? So part of the crisis is the money, obviously, and their inflation. They have an energy crisis, right? They were convinced that they needed to get rid of all their nuclear power. They're trying to go no carbon by 2045. And then the other thing is the migrant crisis, right? So they've basically imported all of this labor and all of these immigrants and then refugees from battles in the Middle East and North Africa. And you have these problems, right, that come from like societal problems that come from essentially not putting any government money into assimilation for all of these new people. So they live in these pods and they, you know, attack and start, you know, basically taking ground and power and start going after the population. And so when you don't have protections, it's crazy to think that the folks that are, you know, not being directly affected in the city centers, haven't turned their back on those policies. And so looks like we have hands up and obviously Arcade, go ahead.
I was just going to say quickly, another thing is that many of the Arab nations will lend out money without interest. They'll put a premium on it, but it comes without interest. So they're able to buy homes in these countries without interest, at a premium, and then they can buy homes there. Whereas the normal German working class, they can't do that anymore. Either you are given a home, like you're handed down a home through your family, or you're living in an apartment. Like you're not going to be able to. And it's such limited space there because it is such a dense population and such a, in like a lot of these smaller places, that it's a real problem. It's extremely expensive to buy a house there.
What's up, guys? Good afternoon. I actually live in this shithole. And it's the divide between like the so-called left and the right is getting pretty wild. Like the people that are on the left actually completely see you as delusional when you talk about the AFD, and they just don't listen to what they're actually saying. It's very, very wild. But you can see that the younger generations, and even like the old, let's say the old people that used to own businesses, they really get on the side of the AFD. So I saw this map too, where the whole Berlin side and stuff is blue and the rest is like black and red. Somehow I have the feeling it's propaganda. I don't really believe it. I hope there is way more blue in there than we think. But yeah, we'll see, right? Like it's close. When is it? The 20th. So 3 more days to go. And then, we'll find out.
The older people have really benefited from this overall, though, right? Like their property prices, which is where they still store most of their value, have gone up, you know, over the last, and we see some of that in the United States as well. But BC1, can you speak to that? Like, don't you think that's kind of like they're voting their pocketbook?
No, I don't think they voted for the pocketbook. I think they mostly are very uneducated, especially the really old generations. Like yesterday I was sitting on the table with my grandma, and like she boiled my blood when she started to talk about Trump, because like literally the only thing she went off on is that he signed an executive order to bring plastic straws back. And I'm like, it can't be fucking true that these people like are so extremely stupid that it's the only thing they actually get shown on the internet or on the news, and that's what they believe is true, right? Like, so I think the older generations just simply are extremely misinformed and like brainwashed by this propaganda. Because if I talk to my granddad, for example, about value and how to store it and how to make it and stuff, like the dude is incredibly based, but like he completely misses the boat in Bitcoin terms, obviously. But like they are incredibly based. They know what the fuck they're doing and they know how to build it. But he had never really benefited from this system, right? He never had he got sick too early. So he got like thrown under the bus basically because he owned his own company. And then you got thrown under the bus out here. If you own your own company, you're fucked. Like everything is working against you. Instead of like helping you to create value, everything is working against you. Once you work for somebody, you're all fine. They will take care of you.
What is the left? What is the left? Can you, being a German citizen resident, can you describe to us what is the philosophy of the left in Germany? Who is the left and what do they stand for?
Well, the Green, the SPD. For example, these are the far left, I would say. The Green is the whole party that basically shut down our nuclear power plants, that built windmills that don't work, that are all about their so-called sustainability that is not really sustainable kind of stuff. The SPD is the social political party. So like they said social politics for you. Kind of thing that is like an oxymoron in itself. It's all about social. The whole social system in Germany was like created after the Second World War, and it became so strong and so like it was good for people for a while, right? But as social things everywhere in the world, if you look at Canada, same thing, right? Like it just crumbles after a while because it's unsustainable. It doesn't work. There is no incentive structure. Like the whole thing just collapsed in on itself. And I've been living here now for 4 years, 3 years, something like that. No, 5 years, I think. And I made less money when I started here and had a better life than what I do now. Like it's fucking ridiculous. Like it got really bad here and the roads get worse. The heating prices are going up. Like the shit is like going down the drain fast and there is no real like betterment inside. Doesn't, not even when the AFD comes, like would be a little bit of a relief to have less strain on the social system by cutting all these like leeches off of it. But the country itself is for the next 15 years. Well, good luck with that kind of thing.
It's really unfortunate to hear this. And so I do hope, and you said the election is in 3 days, correct? On the 20th?
As far as I know, it's on the 20th. Yeah. I can just quickly Google that.
Yeah. So hopefully they're able to right their ship, and get everything back on track. But I do think that this is the norm. I do think that the world is going to start becoming a little bit more chaotic, and there's going to be massive shifts, both to the left and to the right, even here in the United States. And just kind of bring this back around to Bitcoin. That's why we Bitcoin. Again, no one can control it. No one, like, again, you're your own bank, your own person. If something goes absolutely wrong in your country, you can get up and move in a heartbeat, and you still have all of your wealth in 12 or 24 words in head. So it's, again, it's extremely important that everybody's aware of that. And that's why we mentioned at the beginning of the show, I get convenience for storing your Bitcoin with the ETF or on the exchange, but when it gets difficult, that was the whole purpose for Bitcoin, correct? So make sure, again, not your keys, not your coins. Everybody should self-custody.
Correction, I was wrong. It's on the 23rd. So on a Sunday, that's something very special I didn't expect. But yeah, in general, like the whole thing, like look at like what happened. I think it was Bulgaria or Romania where they stole the election. I can see something really crazy happen where everybody's just going to fucking drop their jaws when the AFD gets too many votes. There is going to, like, there is some weird shit coming. Some people just don't see coming.
What do you think those things are?
I think they're probably going to cancel the election in some form. And, like, then it's up to the German people to stand up, right? Because that is something Germans will not do. It's just something that won't happen. They're not going to stand up for themselves because look what happened in Munich, right? Like you're having a terrorist attack where somebody drives a fucking Mini Cooper into people, and who is actually out on the streets demonstrating the same night? It's Antifa, right? It's the guys like demonstrating against the AFD and like for inclusivity and that kind of fucking DEI and bullshit, like. The world is completely upside down. It doesn't make any sense anymore.
I thought Elon cut their funding.
Well, we still have a little bit of wealth out here. We're not completely broke yet.
It's actually grassroots out there, if you're talking about Antifa. Like,
oh, Antifa is...
they actually believe that shit. Like, it's not it's just Soros funded in Germany.
Well, I appreciate everybody's perspective on this. BC1 and Arcade, I do appreciate you guys coming up here. Stick around. We're going to go ahead and take a break for partners really quick, and then we'll roll into, I want to cover the Argentina meme coin thing as well. But I do want to say thank you to Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining. Solosatoshi.com. Use our code BTCVETS with an S for 5% off. Pay with Bitcoin, additional 10% off, so you can get 15% off your order. Solosatoshi.com. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training at paladintowertactics.com. And Punch Plate. Do not store your seed phrase on anything other than a metal plate. Go to punchplate.com and check them out. Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th. Family-friendly conference. Bring your children. Bring your spouse. Make a vacation out of it. BitcoinAlaska.org for your tickets and your hotel lodging. And again, treat your Bitcoin like it's 10 times what it is, worth what it is today. Go into the Nest. Click on our link right there for our cold card. Get yourself an MK4 or cold card Q. They are the best hardware wallets out there. Once we start getting a little bit more traction with our link, we'll be able to offer a unique discount code. So if you're in the market for a new hardware wallet or you don't have your own keys yet, go ahead and click on that link up in the Nest and go ahead and get yourself an MK4 cold card view. So I want to pivot just a little bit, and I want to talk about the meme coin that the Argentinian president, Milei did over the weekend, or I guess over a couple of days. So on Friday, he posted on Twitter about Libra, a coin he said was aimed at encouraging economic growth by funding small businesses and startups. A few hours later, after the cryptocurrency value increased, He sold a bunch of it and caused millions of dollars in losses to its investors. I guess there's somehow there's a connection with Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports. Again, we say don't shitcoin. Really unfortunate. I know a lot of people had a lot of thought Javier was going to do a lot of good things in Argentina. And if it is true that he promoted this and then just rugged everybody, it's unfortunate, especially everybody who lost their money, doesn't give a lot of faith to the government. But again, it's just don't shitcoin. It's such easy advice to take. There is no easy path to financial freedom or to making money. There's always a risk, and 99 out of 100 times you're the person that's going to get screwed over. So Bob, Wade, or BC1, if you guys have any comments, I'd like to hear.
I think it's just, you know, we could talk about this a lot of different ways. The way I think about it is, you know, one of the main benefits of Bitcoin is, you know, as Coleman says, you should self-custody. That helps you avoid any counterparty risk, whether that's a financial institution, a government, a politician, your next door neighbor, so on and so forth. Like, you don't have to trust anyone because you have this network that is built to essentially withstand all these attacks, failed humans and failed institutions. And so, you know, if you're going to shitcoin, you might as well just stay in the traditional banking system and take on all that counterparty risk.
In general, I think that the meme coins themselves have become the biggest meme out there. Like, if you're stupid enough to buy a meme coin, like, yeah, get wrecked.
I agree with that.
Do whatever you want.
I agree. If you invest into it, like, again, it's the best lessons learned in life come with pain. But unfortunately, like, these people, anytime I see someone get rugged on these memes, I feel like they have nothing and they're just trying to make a quick buck. So they're putting everything they can in there. And then it just completely ruins them to Bitcoin, because they just assume Bitcoin's with everything else. And that's the part where I just find frustrating, is that we're trying to lead everybody to financial freedom. We're trying to allow everybody to be sovereign and that they're not encumbered or shackled to one place or location, and Bitcoin is the answer to that. And with all of this, it's so frustrating. And again, I'm not going to let them get away without taking a shot. Trump and his wife Melania did the exact same thing, and so I think they're just as guilty creating a meme coin and anything that comes with that. I don't think they deserve a free pass, regardless if he creates a strategic Bitcoin reserve or not, and it's good for us in the country. There still has to be consequences with that. This nonsense has to stop. It's just getting out of hand. You've had two presidents of countries do this again. That's all I'll say on it. Wade, did you have anything you wanted to add, sir?
I'll hop in while we wait for Wade. Go ahead.
No, I'm good, guys.
I think the big question is like, when do people start to catch on, right? So like in the past, I think you had this sentiment where there was, and it probably still carries over to be honest, but you have like this market of cryptocurrency where Bitcoin is included. But I think we're about to come to the point where we really do see that separation of Bitcoin versus all these other cryptocurrencies. And honestly, I think that the meme coins and all these rug pulls, if people are paying attention, actually maybe helps Bitcoin separate itself from all of the meme coins. Now, maybe I'm just looking at it with rose-colored glasses, but I think when the market was much younger and you had rug pulls, people just said, oh, see, that whole thing is a scam. All cryptocurrency is a scam. But now I think with nation state adoption potentially coming, and we have, aside from the small ones like El Salvador and Bhutan, I think we're seeing where there could be finally this bifurcation in the market where it's Bitcoin and then everything else. And maybe the meme coins help people see the truth.
I can agree with that. And I hope that it accelerates finding Bitcoin. I just try and look at it from someone who knows nothing about it and is just gets absolutely wrecked and loses everything. They're just going to be extremely hesitant, and it might cause them to, it probably will cause them to have to buy in coin at a higher price, which is unfortunate because those are the people that most likely get the most. So, we're getting top of the hour. Did anybody have anything else we wanted to cover before we start wrapping up the show?
I just wanted to close out with you guys and saying that I just wonder how much longer it's going to take for everyone else to realize that Bitcoin's the granddaddy neutral reserve asset of them all. You know, it's been going for 16 years now, but when you really think about it, it's been going 24/7, 365. So that's about 45 or 50 years of business cycles that it's gone through. And it looks like some people are finally starting to come on board, some serious, maybe even some sovereigns. And when that catches on, it's going to be like fire. And it's just awesome to be here for that moment.
Man, to answer your question, Wade, how long is it going to take or what's it going to take? I think nation states adopting it will cause a little bit. But I think the big thing might be price. I think it hit 100,000. I think Bitcoiners all thought retail was going to FOMO in at this price, but I think retail is expecting this to be the top. So I think we can make when we make a really solid push past 120, 125, and it just keeps going and it doesn't do a big pull, I think that's when you'll start to see people like, okay, this is the real deal. And then you cue that with, you know, Ethereum and all the others just kind of lagging behind still and not having these returns that Bitcoiners are, then I think that's when you'll start to see the sentiment shift on it. Again, I could be completely wrong with that, but I that's just kind of what I'm seeing right now. I think a lot of people think that this is the top. I think this is just a great accumulation phase for it. It's literally just sitting within $1,000 band, like 95, 97. Like, you can't ask for anything else to build a solid foundation for them to lay up. And you look at the volume just kind of low. Like, this is where it's sitting. And as the year goes on and we get more clarification for what's going to happen with the new administration, again, everything revolves around America and its economy and its financial sector. So once we get a little bit more clarity, we know what's going to happen. Once we get that direction or guidance, it is going to tear up. And it is going to blow people's minds. So that's what I think.
I agree. And if you are out there watching all the news and hearing all of these tailwinds, things that fundamentally should be really good for the Bitcoin price, you got to realize, when you hear, you know, large institutions, nation states, whoever it would be, sovereign wealth funds, family offices, so on and so forth, that are buying large chunks of Bitcoin, they're buying them on the OTC desks. So they're buying them over the counter where the price doesn't, like the price they're willing to pay doesn't hit the order books. And so when you're buying in size, you can, you know, essentially protect yourself from moving the price either way, up or down, if you're buying or selling, because that's not hitting the order books. And so, you know, having low volume like this is because we don't have those smaller trades, those retail buys. And I think that, you know, to Coleman's point, this will come, but I think we're going to have a, probably some sort of event, or as, you know, things come to light in the market, kind of digests all the news that's been thrown at all of us over the last 3 weeks or so since we got a new president in the United States. I think retail will come. And when they do, that's where the price is set on the order books, on the margins, in the smaller trades. The fact of the matter is that there's only 450 new Bitcoin being created each day. And that's why they, you know, kind of have been pushing people to dollar cost average or buy over time consistently. Because with all of us together, buying all the time, we're helping set that marginal price on the order books, whether we like it or not. So I think, you know, if you're still accumulating, it's a great time because the sideways drives some people nuts. But if you're not trading it and you're just buying it, you're getting a gift right now for when that marginal price does set in and people are willing to pay a higher price because of some event that goes on or because of other things that come to light. So that's kind of my, I'll land my plane there on that.
No. Yeah. And that was perfect. And if I would let everybody know when to expect this, I think in 30 days, I think the debt ceiling talks here in the United States is going to be a huge catalyst for it. I think any peace in Ukraine and Russia, that'll be another catalyst. And not to mention just, you know, just something else, you're seeing another country just injecting more liquidity into their economies. Yeah. Again, Europe's kind of in shambles, as we heard. The UK, they're running on fumes. And so it's going to be, there's something's going to happen. So I know we don't usually try and do any price predictions or timelines, but I think if we can keep this price for another 30 days, it'll be a gift. And then I think it's just going to be absolutely bonkers from there. It'll be the next fun move up. But that is it. I do want to thank everybody who tuned in, everybody who retweeted, everybody who came up on this. We had a lot of new guests, so I do appreciate it. Y'all are welcome back on the future shows. And if you're sitting on the sidelines, feel free to come up here. We're pretty easy going. We're non-judgmental. Get over that stage fright and go ahead and let your voice be heard. That's what Bitcoiners do. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern time. We're doing this again. Just going to do some roundups. We might have a guest for you on Thursday this week, so stay tuned for that. But other than that, go out there. If you have the day off, enjoy it. Get out there, and if it's warm enough, go for a walk, touch some grass, go work out, drink your bone broth. Just be productive. Don't just waste the day. But that's it. Thank you. Just don't shitcoin. It's like trying to reload an empty magazine with hopium.